It's a privilege to be here again at Hope Baptist Church and to be able to preach tonight, Lord willing. If the Holy Spirit does the work, it'll be preaching. If not, I'll just be yapping, and we pray that that would not be the case. If you would, turn in your Bibles to what is probably a very familiar passage to most of us, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and this is really part of Paul's, Romans chapter 8 in particular is Paul's great treatise on our relationship with God, on what salvation really is, and ends with that incredible treatise on the victorious love of Christ, that there is nothing that can conquer God's love. And where I'd like for us to center is on verse 28. Now, how many of you have ever quoted this verse when something went wrong? Now, please understand, we are not, I am not, I believe in the authority of God's word. God's word is never wrong, but how many times has that not worked out very well for you? Now, when God's word doesn't work out very well for you, I want you to understand something. You know this, you know where I'm going, don't you? The problem is not the Bible. I'm in New York City, I have to be cultured, right? Can we have a little fun tonight? And I like to enjoy God's word. The answers are there. And so let's read this very carefully together. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now let's look at the immediate context of this verse. We go back to verse 24. It says, we are saved by hope. And so it's talking about our salvation there, verse 26 and 27 is talking about prayer. We get to verse 29 and it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, there is hope in that verse, and I want you to know I am not a Calvinist, but I'm not afraid of what the Bible says. The Bible says when I get to heaven, I'm going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, the way I think about things, and I hope you'll think with me, is God's going to have a whole lot more work to do with some of us than others in those last few seconds before we walk through those gates into that great city. Would you not agree with me on that? And that part of our struggle here on this earth is trying to get ready and trying to let God do that work so that there's not so much to do at the very last second. Amen? Oh, me? I tell our people, if you agree, say amen. If you're in trouble, say, oh me, and we'll go forward. Amen. And so as we look at this verse, it says, and we know. Now, when it says we know something, now you have to understand if you're talking to someone who's been living in New York City since 1990, and I want to tell you about people in New York City. We know. You say, know what? Well, whatever it is that you're asking, we know. You want directions? Don't ask. Because they'll tell you something. It's not going to be right. Most people don't know how to cross the street. Or what is across the street. But they're going to tell you something. Now, but when God says something through the Apostle Paul, he says, we know. He's talking about something that is out of our provenance, out of our control. The word provenance means the fact of coming from some particular source or quarter. It's talking about origin, where something comes from. The second definition is the history or pedigree of a work of art, manuscript, rare book. I would like to put in here the historic pedigree of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. You see, if we know this, this means it's not coming from you and me. It can't. Because if it comes from you and me, what have we done with every good thing that God's given us? We mess it up. And so if we know something beyond any shadow of a doubt, this has got to be God's work, not ours. And so we know that all things work together for good. Now, I tell you, every time we quote this verse, 99% of the time when we quote this verse, and Brother John, that clock is hard to read. You know what happens when a preacher takes his watch off? He's telling you he doesn't care. No, I'm going to try to be careful with the time tonight. But this idea of quoting this verse, normally what we're talking about is something bad happened to you, and I want you to know that all things work together for good. And little tongue-in-cheek, we can laugh a little bit, but sometimes that doesn't always work out for good, now does it? Because there's some conditions in this verse. There are some things that must be in place for this verse to apply to us. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. Now, here's where it gets tough. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I want to skip over that next phrase, to them that love God, for just a moment. Because I want to deal with this part here, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'd like you to look back in your Bible here, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'd like to challenge you tonight as we look at this verse, that calling is the property of every believer in Jesus Christ, and that calling is to be conformed to the image of his son. And that is a work that he is going to accomplish in the life of every believer, whether you want to or not. You say, wait a minute. Well, you're supposed to want it. Amen. And I don't believe God calls and drags anybody kicking and screaming anywhere. But I do believe that one of the reasons we do not see and do not understand and do not enjoy the blessings that the Bible talks about is because we're fighting against that calling, that purpose that God has for us. I mean, when I'm pulling up to a spot and I see that right next to the church there's an open parking spot, our church has no parking at all. We have a 55 feet long, no parking zone in front of the church. And then everything else is parallel parking on the street. And when you see a spot open right next to the church, you're saying, yes, Lord, hold on to it. And the guy goes through the red light, makes an illegal turn, and steals your spot. I'll tell you what, at that point, I am really not interested in being conformed to the image of Christ. How many of you would join me in that carnal? Okay, we've got honest people in this church, Brother John. That is great. I tell our people all the time, you won't be honest in church, you won't be honest anywhere. And yet, who suffers when we fight against that conforming influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It is not God. It is us. It is our church. It is others who are looking at us, trying to see Jesus Christ. All of those people suffer. You see, the problem is we do what we want to do, and when we get in a mess, we quote Romans 8:28 and hope it's going to work. And I want to challenge you that if we are where we are because we're loving God, all things will work together for good. They have to. This is God's work. It originates with Him. It is the pedigree of the hand of God. So often we think when we pray that somehow God is this inanimate robot that's there and He can't move until we pray, and then one eye opens and we pray a little harder and the second eye opens, and I mean, we start weeping and dripping tears on the floor, and all of a sudden God says, okay, what do you want? Let me do it for you. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible already wants what is absolutely best because that is His nature as God. He already knows what would be the absolute best outcome of a situation, the absolute most perfect thing to happen in our lives. But if we're fighting against that conforming influence of the Holy Spirit, guess what we're going to miss out on? The very things that God wants to do in the first place. And by the way, this may seem a little disjointed, but let's grab a hold of this. It says, and we know that all things, when we read this verse, you know what we're thinking about? We're thinking about things. Because that's what we can put our hands on. We were driving back from, we stopped Lexington or just outside Lexington, Kentucky last night. And, oh, this is going to be easy. We're just going to sleep in and leave about 10 o'clock. And we left 3 minutes early and we're going, yeah, look at this. This is good. The Lord, please bless this trip. And the check engine light comes on. And you're sitting there going, I don't think all things are working together for good right now. And yet, the Lord got us here in good time. Not one breakdown. The Lord takes care of us. Things belong to Him, not to us. When we get messing with things, I mean, how many of you are old enough to remember what it was like being a teenager? What was being the teen? Well, when I get old enough, I'm gonna. I think it was Ronald Reagan-esque. How'd that work out for you? We've got to understand something. When we step over the lines of God's authority and start dealing with things that belong to God, we short-circuit everything that is necessary to make all things work together for good. We've got to let God take care of the things. Our church meets in a former synagogue. The synagogue was built in 1935, and Brother John was there, and he was helping us make some of the video presentations that we sent to churches to raise money. The building was only $700,000. The closing costs were an additional $63,204. Our property is 83 feet wide and 100 feet deep. It would fit inside your building, our entire property. Today, that property is worth about $2.5 million. Absolutely insane. But the Lord took care of us. He put us in that building. We like to call it the miracle on 35th Street. 34th Street, Santa Claus, in Manhattan, 35th Street in Queens, in Astoria, is the Open Door Bible Baptist Church. Amen. And the Lord has done very many miracles. He gave us a three-year mortgage. We only had to pay $100,000 down the closing costs, and the synagogue held a $600,000 mortgage. These are Orthodox Jews at 0% interest for 3 years. Do the math, that's 200 grand a year. And the Lord raised that $200,000 the first year. I mean, we were just rejoicing. Ah, Lord, thank you. The second year was a little more difficult. We were only $150,000 short. But you see, I knew something. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And, you know, I'm quoting Matthew chapter 16. Jesus, this is your church, not mine. That's your bill, not mine. My wife knows I like to tell the story now. I did not like the story then. It was not fun. And yet I knew that I'd gotten into this mess trying to be obedient to this book. And that the Lord would take care of us. How many of you have ever wished that the Lord would just hurry up a little bit? But he won't. You know why he won't? Because he wants to remind us that the things belong to him and not to us. He wants to get us desperate enough that we'll pray the way we ought to pray. And I will tell you this, some good advice, Pastor John, is the lock on the office door, it works both ways. Sometimes you just need to lock yourself in and sit still and wait for God to do something so you don't start messing with things and mess up what God's trying to do. Because they belong to him. You see, this is not up for debate. This thought is not up for question. Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now that's the one we need to spend some time with tonight. We're going to investigate a verse. We need to study it. We need to know what it means. And if I were to ask the question, how many of you love God? Everybody's hand would go up. It's supposed to go up. This is a Baptist church. I mean, what else are you going to say? We're joining. I better be careful here. I was going to say we're joining the Democrats, but I won't say that. The point being here is we all want to believe that we love God. But the problem is we've got to let the Bible tell us what it means. Oftentimes people say, Pastor, can you recommend a really good book on... They don't ask that anymore because they know what the answer is. On how to raise a family? The Bible's the best book. Yeah, but I want a book that explains the Bible. I said, yeah, that's right. Use the Bible. Because if you use anybody else's book, all you're going to get is someone's ideas about the Bible instead of what the Bible's actually saying. And there are a few passages here that talks about this. And so as we walk through this verse, We understand that all things belong to God. He makes them work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We are called, every one of us who are saved are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I have good news for you. That is going to happen. You can either let it happen while you're here on earth and let God work through that process, or he will make it all happen because there will not be unconformity when we get to heaven. Amen? Things will be the way they ought to be. But I will tell you this, if you wait until the very last moment, let God do all the work, there's not going to be very many rewards. There's not going to be very many crowns to cast at his feet. There's not going to be the same level of enjoyment and blessings that you can have and that God wants you to have by working on that loving God while we're here on earth. Now, there's a few verses that talk about that. Let's go to John chapter 14. Remember, John chapter 13 was the Last Supper. Jesus is now on his way to Gethsemane, and John chapters 14, 15, and 16 and 17 all happened between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane. And so John 14, 15, a verse that we all know, it says, if ye love me, say it out loud, keep my commandments. Let's try that one more time. If ye love me, what? Keep my commandments. Now, what are Jesus' commandments? Somebody says, well, how about the Ten Commandments? No, those weren't Moses' commandments. Jesus said, keep my commandments. Now, what were those commandments? Well, that's what your New Testament, the bulk of your New Testament, is all about. It tells us that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. So do you think keeping his commandments, loving Christ, should have something to do with the local church? In fact, I'll challenge you, study your Bible from Acts chapter 2, Revelation chapter 4. You find me something that isn't through, by, for, or about a local church. That is God's plan. I mean, I call them Lone Ranger Christians. You ever met one of those? Man, they come riding into town. Hey, this looks like a really good church. I think I could really be a blessing here. If you'd only listen to me and let me tell you what to do, I'll straighten out everything and then I'm going to ride on and do it somewhere else. And my favorite line is, well, why don't you just ride on and do it somewhere else? Amen. Because the church is a body, the body. And last time I checked, I don't want any extra parts hanging off the outside. Amen. I just want what belongs here. That's why we take showers and do other things like that to just make sure. Because a healthy body takes care of itself. And if we love Christ, we need to be a part of his body, which is that church. That means you got to be saved. That means you got to be baptized the Bible way. That means you got to be surrendered to the program of the local church and be a part. To be a part, you got to cooperate with a few other people. It helps if you're doing what the pastor says instead of telling the pastor what to do. Because that's the way a church works. You say, do you say this stuff in New York City? Every service. Because New York is so full of people that got saved here and got discipled on the radio or through some correspondence course. And by the time they find a local church, they're usually so spoiled that it's almost impossible to get them to cooperate with what Jesus said here. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's do the things that I am telling you to do. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And in the book of 1 John, it is just so much here. Why don't we just start in verse 9? We're going to pick just a few things here in these next two chapters here. Why don't we start with verse 8? It says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You see, we get this thing backwards. We think we love God because, preacher, it's Wednesday night. Do you know what a sacrifice it is to be in church on Wednesday night? I have to get off work early. I have to rush home. Sometimes our people in the city, many of them don't get dinner until after church is over. Why? Because they want to be in church. Because it's important. But we think we show God our love for him by what we do for him, when actually we show our love for God when we understand how much he loves us. When is the last time you just sat down and thought about your salvation and all that God did for you so you could be saved? You see, We miss. Our brains just don't work right. I mean, 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many times have you used that verse this week? Hello? Every one of us. Because we fail. We sin. And God tells us in that very same passage that if we're going to sit here and say we have no sin, we haven't failed, we make him a liar and his truth is not in us. God wants to cleanse us from our sins. But all of that is because Jesus died on an old rugged cross. But I am so thankful the story didn't end there, aren't you? I love the fact that in a Bible-believing church, the only relic we have is an empty tomb. Nothing. You see, all the things belong to God. And so we're not trying to hold on to anything. What we're trying to do is understand how much God loved us. If you have a good marriage, if you have a good relationship with your husband or your wife, it's because of one thing. It's because you think that you don't deserve what they're giving you. And as long as you keep that attitude, both husband and wife, it really is nice. It is so wonderful. But if one or the other gets the idea that I deserve this, well, I'll tell you what, it's not a very nice place to be now, is it? And sometimes with the Lord Jesus Christ, we get an attitude that somehow we deserve our salvation. That somehow our life might be a little more difficult than is absolutely necessary. Now, don't look at me that way. How many of you have ever just said, "Now, Lord, I don't know you make any mistakes. I know you don't make mistakes, but Lord, don't you think you could have fudged this one just a little bit off the mark? Not all the way wrong, but just we think that way in our minds and our hearts, do we not? And when we do, we blaspheme the love of God. It's not that we love God. It's that he loved us. And when we have problems with things, it's because we have allowed in our mind to get misconstrued, to get twisted up, that idea, that understanding of how much God really loves us. And we go down through this passage here, and for years, this passage was very difficult for me. But look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Then the next verse, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I remember a dear lady in our church, she's since moved out of state, but she just kept saying, "Pastor, I can't understand. I think God hates me." And I called her name and I said, you need to spend a little bit of time thinking about your salvation, because if you think that, you really have misunderstood the entire message of the Word of God. And sure enough, at 2:00 in the morning, it's always 2 in the morning, isn't it? The phone rings and I pick it up, and there she is weeping, said, "I'm not saved, Pastor. Will you tell me how to get saved so I can start serving the Lord?" And bless God, she did, and things changed. You see, the Bible says that God's love is made perfect in our lives so that we can have boldness in the day of judgment. It says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Was Jesus received by the religious crowd very well? No, in fact, his harshest criticism was for the Jewish leaders, the people who were in charge of that religion. But Jesus is in heaven. He is interceding at the right hand of the Father for who? Us. That was Romans 8, 26, 27. Amen. And what he wants us to do is to take his message to this world in which we live. Because as he is, so are we in this world. How many are afraid to pass out a gospel tract to somebody? You don't have to raise your hand. Everybody is. I remember one guy telling me, he said, "I'm just so afraid. I'm going to throw up." I said, "Well, don't do that. That would really be bad." And he said, "But then I saw one of your little boys passing out tracts." And I said, if that little boy can do it, I can do it. I said, yeah, it works that way. Because my love for God gives me a boldness that gets rid of my fear. Because they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they're that foolish, it is not anger, it's pity. It is prayer. Amen? We need to understand that we live in a lost and dying world, and that work that God wants to do in our lives, he does not want us to do it to prove that we love him. He wants his love to be the power source for everything that we do. He wants it to be a natural outgrowth of our relationship with Jesus. I mean, do you think if you walked with Jesus somewhere, he would act just like we do? And sometimes we use that mentality and we get some really weird ideas. And we start thinking that the whole world depends on me doing fill in the blank. And when that happens, we just mess the whole thing up again. We just short-circuited it all. Because look at these next verses here. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know how most of us read this verse? By this we know that we love the children of God when we want to do nice things for other people at our expense. Isn't that how we read it? I'm not a Greek scholar, but I promise you that's not in the original language. Because if it was, that's what would be in the English. What's in the English says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, I want to ask you to really think about something for just a minute. Have you ever gotten just a little sideways between you and the Lord? Something just didn't happen right at work, something. And then you go home and you have a fight with your wife. You know why? Because you're not loving God and keeping his commandments. And therefore you can't have the patience that God wants to be there to deal with your wife and children in your own home. I met somebody one time and they said, well, you know, I know everything's okay with me and God because I fill in the blank. And I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. If you can fill in that blank, you've just short-circuited this whole passage in the scriptures. Because the only way I can tell if my relationship is right with God is if I'm keeping his commandments and I don't have to gin it up. How many of you know what I mean by that? Is anybody here old enough to, or mechanical enough to know what a magneto is? How many people know what a magneto is? How many of you know what a magneto is the hard way? I mean, my dad, we had one of those little old lawnmowers, and there's a little magneto in there. And he said, would you hold this wire and see if it works? Now, if you're a father, don't do that to your children. It's cruel. I thought my arm was going to fall off. Of course, nothing bad happened. My dad had a lot of fun. But see, a magneto generates spark because you turn it. And that's the way a lot of us treat our relationship with God. It feels good because I'm... when that's not God's plan at all. God doesn't want you generating the spark. By the way, have you ever tried to date somebody like that? I think I like her. I'm pretty sure I like her. She makes nice cookies. That's got to be love, right? Ladies, if he starts talking to you like that, run. You shouldn't have to work so hard at it now, should you? And you shouldn't have to work so hard at loving God, because if we understand what he did for us and how much he loves us, our least response is say, whatever you say, Jesus. I want to be obedient to this word. And you see, if you, because you're trying to be obedient to God, find yourself in a very difficult situation, then you can be absolutely assured that you're in a place where all things are going to work together for good. Because you love God. You know you're called according to his purpose. and you're not resisting the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and sometimes God has to put us in difficult times to teach us things. Amen? You see, that little verse is not a band-aid to put over disobedience to God. It's quite the contrary. It's an encouragement to you right now, before all things get really crazy, to love God and allow that calling to be working in your life, so that when all things get really crazy, you can say, okay, God, the Bible says. And by the way, I'll get back to that story. We were $150,000 short on our payment, and it was due November 1st. Well, it's Christmas, and nothing's happened. But you see, in the contract, the lawyer had put a 90-day period in there, which expired February 1st. And on January 20th, one little piece of paper showed up. And it had a 1 and a 5 and a 0 and 3 more zeros after it, and then the decimal point. It was one check for $150,000. And the guy told me, he said, don't call me anymore. He said, you called it exactly the right time. He said, I just sold my house. I was wondering what I was going to do with the money. He said, I'm getting ready to go to heaven. And he said, and what he told me was, the check's in the mail. Hope it helps. He didn't tell me what it was. And so for 2 weeks, I'm going, I hope it's a good check. And I don't even think I was in town when the check showed up, was I? I was calling preachers and trying to raise money. I was doing all the things that I could instead of just trusting the Lord, maybe everything that, my wife had to take the check to the bank and deposit it in the thing. And I remember calling the rabbi and saying, we had another miracle on 35th Street. You're getting your money. And I could hear him going, rats. But you see, when God takes care of the things, he takes care of the things because they're his. When you take care of the things, get ready, because it's not going to be good. But if you'll work on loving God and keeping his commandments, not only will you love God, but you'll love the people around you, because God is love. How many of you have ever had somebody help you and hurt you because they were trying to help you? Ooh. Most of us have been there. It's not a pleasant experience. And if you really want it to be bad, put Jesus in there. Oh, Jesus told me to help you. Man, when that I hear that from somebody, I'm running. And I'm a preacher. But when I find somebody that says, listen, I'm just trying to keep my relationship with God where it ought to be and love the Lord the way I ought to love him, they're helping me. They're encouraging me as a pastor. They're keeping me on the right track. Sometimes they even rebuke me, but it's a blessing because I know that it's coming from God. And not from somebody that's sitting at home going, now, how can I use this verse to tell somebody that they're offending me? Now, that's not Bible. That's the flesh. You see, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The only part of that verse that you can do anything about is your love for God. God blessed me with the most wonderful wife in the world. You know why? I found her serving the Lord. And her daddy didn't want to let her go. In fact, I had a preacher friend in just November for our missions conference, and he said, "Your pastor's the one that broke up the Marshall family." I wanted to raise my hand and say, "That was over 30 years ago." But he still remembered. You want the best person. Stop looking for somebody that meets your requirements and start loving God, and God will bring somebody along that's loving God instead of themselves. And you just might have a chance for a fantastic marriage and a life together serving God. Could we say amen to that? You want a great church. You want a great pastor. You want to help your pastor. You get loving God, and he'll take care of all those things. I mean, I tell our people this all the time. You want a better preacher? You start praying for him. Maybe God will answer that prayer. Amen? Listen, we know that verse. We know it backwards. We know it forwards. The question tonight is, how is your loving God working? Richard.